Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ends at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you, Edith, and a tremendous point by you. We start off today by saying ENN is a special vehicle today because I decided to shave all my facial hair earlier. Getting a lot of interesting feedback on it.
Anything good?
No. Not particularly.
There's plenty to tear your head out about.
My mom likes it.
That's good.
I had one friend who said that she liked it. Everyone else has kind of been like, you know, I think I prefer it the other way.
I think you look handsome either way.
Thanks, Michael.
I think I prefer it the other way.
Yeah, don't you?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that opinion. I don't think you look awful. I think you still look great. And it definitely shows the weight you lost. I guess the beard kind of hid that a little. So
yeah.
From that standpoint, you look thinner.
Thank
but
you.
I think I prefer you with the beard.
Right? It's just a light beard. It makes a difference. I think I'll be normal and unembarrassed of myself by Friday.
Are you going to let it grow back?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's wrong with you?
It's not
a
good
decision
look.
And stick with it.
Why?
No, I don't think it's it.
No rules.
I'd like to say good evening to Michael, though, if we can.
What?
Sure. And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Mike Madonna follows me on Twitter. He does. And now Felix Hernandez does as well.
So glad we got to use that. We talked about Mark Teixeira earlier. He was on Golic and Wingo this morning. And here's his thoughts on the owner's potential 50-50 split proposal.
From a player standpoint, I want 100% of my salary for every game played. But unfortunately, these are unprecedented times. And the owner's 50-50 split is not unreasonable.
Don't know if some of his former compadres in Major League Baseball are going to agree with that assessment.
It's not unreasonable, but it's in order to make it work, There can't be any future ramifications for any future CBA negotiations, and they have to show them the books.
Yeah.
There's no trust between these two sides, so you can't just take their word for it. This is 50%. Are they willing to show the books?
And honestly, too, in fairness to both sides of this, why did you make the original agreement if you're the owners? You knew that there weren't going to be fans in the stands for a long time.
But they believe that in that agreement, I mean, a couple of people that I follow – as labor lawyers, how do you interpret it? And there's like four labor lawyers would talk to with no affiliation on either side, and it's two and two, whichever way it can be interpreted. The owners believe that there is a clause in there that, you know, we can reopen this if we don't play in front of anybody.
But why does it have to be that vague? Why couldn't it be more specific? They had to know. When did they sign this deal? It was like a month ago?
No, it was right. It was like right before when the season would have started, I guess. So baseball stopped on March 12th. The season was supposed to start March 26th, somewhere in there, I think.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of optimism at that time about anything. I mean, I think from the get-go, guys, we were saying when sports comes back, there are going to be no fans for a while, right? I mean, Bill Gates is getting behind a vaccine, right, Michael? He's using a lot of his money to come up with a vaccine. Reports are he still says it's going to take a year.
I know. The vaccine business really sounds like it's something that could be anywhere from a year to 3 or 4 years.
And I think that's really either that or a drug that pretty much manages it to the point where people aren't going to the hospital. How are you gonna open doors and let fans go in? I mean, you could play and you can have games, but how are you going to have 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium? No vaccine, no medication. How? And that's not going to look great either, what Woj suggested. Not his suggestion, but what's being floated out there by the NBA. Just put 5,000 people all socially distant and then have them pay like an outrageous amount of money to be there. Like, how is that going to help the optics of, like, fans in the stands, right?
Well, they'll get people to pay outrageous money.
Well, I was just saying, but I understand that from the financial standpoint, but from the optics of watching the game, Michael, like, how is that going to make me enjoy the game more that instead of 50,000 people or instead of 20,000 people in an arena, there's 5,000 and they're all filthy, stinking rich. They probably aren't going to make any noise anyway.
But I don't think that's for you. It's for them to raise some money and have some people cheering in the stands. I don't care.
But the cheering in the stands isn't going to mean anything for anybody. It'll be a chance for them to make some money back.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why does it feel like it's gotten so challenging to day-to-day find out, like, the death toll in New York? Like, I can never find the New York City death toll overnight anymore.
I thought Cuomo would have.
Sometimes he does. But I don't sit around and watch his press conference every day. So you just want to be able to go on.
I try to. He was late today. He's usually at 11:30, but as of, like, I didn't see him at like 12:30 even. I think he was way late.
I think he did that for this reason, Don, because the Senate hearings were going on.
Okay. Well, I figured there was a good reason. I wasn't criticizing him for it. And I didn't see New Jersey's either. New Jersey was like 56 yesterday. But even Governor Murphy's like, well, let's relax because a lot of that's just it's difficult to get the tallies from the weekend and all that.
For the record, this is going to sound like a political statement, but it's not because I feel this way about both parties. It just goes to show in terms of how little we pay attention to politics in general, that when something like this happens and you actually get exposed to a politician, everyone all of a sudden has this strong opinion on the politician. It's really just based on the way that person makes them feel when they physically see them. No one's learned anything about Cuomo's policy. No one knows anything about him. They know that he makes them feel comfortable when he sits up there at the table.
I got to read you something that Rick DiPietro just sent me.
He's a very wise man.
Regarding, you know, we've gone back and forth with fans return even without a vaccine. Well, he sent me this from Rian Hunt. Travel company Cruise Planners, a privately held franchise network, told TMZ over the weekend that bookings on Carnival Corporation's cruise ships catapulted by 600% after the company announced it will resume sailing on August 1st. Additionally, the company notes bookings are 200% higher than during the same period in 2019, with people apparently hankering more strongly for ocean views after COVID-19 than before. I mean, I would be petrified at this point to get on a cruise ship. They're up 600%. So people are going to come back to games. I'm telling you, they will. I don't know if it's going to be jammed, but there's going to be a lot of people that will come back to games.
No, I don't doubt it because there's a lot of people that don't believe this is much of a thing. So they'll come back.
So it's insane, but I don't understand the idea of thinking about a cruise right now. That you're going to feel relaxed on a cruise right now?
Well, they were losing me even before the pandemic.
Never been like, a cruise guy.
My neighbor was like, yeah, he would go back, he said. Because he got something from Carnival in the mail. I'm like, forget it. I'll never get in there. And he's like, well, you know, it can happen in hotels. I'm like, yeah, but I can physically leave the hotel.
Yeah, there were people that were stuck on ships for a while.
For a while? Like, aren't there still some that were stuck for like the 2 months of this pandemic?
Yeah, at the beginning.
There's a couple of people still on the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria that haven't gotten off yet.
So a few people have texted me that the number of dead overnight was up to 191. It was up from 163, but that's the state number, not the city number. Like I said, it's always hard to find for me the specific. It used to be at the beginning, you see the city numbers, you see the state numbers. I just find it's gotten very hard to.
And I was looking through Cuomo's tweets, and I didn't see him specifically give a number. There was 198 in New Jersey, so Murphy kind of predicted it'd be up because of the weekend. But Cuomo tweeted, New York State is now investigating about 100 cases of inflammatory illness in children.
Yes.
That may be related to COVID-19. That's a whole other aspect. That's what just like scares me about this whole thing is that when you look at like information wise, like the numbers are down and we've done well that way, but having information on this illness, we're still completely in the dark.
Remember when this all started, Don? The one thing, kids can't get it; they're not in any danger. So, That's why talking about it here on May 12th, do we really know what's going to happen on June 12th? We have any idea what's going to come forward or manifest itself? We have no idea.
Right.
For the longest time, kids can't get it. They're not in danger.
And the other thing he says here, the ages of these cases range from infancy to age 21.
Yep.
You know, so I'm assuming they believe that these are illnesses where somebody in the family had it, the kids didn't have it because the feeling was all the kids can't get it, kids test negative, but this is how they get it. So we're learning more and more. So what else is around the corner? You know, what else are we going to find out? So it's just scary. It really is. I know we have to open, we have to move forward, but guys, I keep thinking about all the concerns Sean Doolittle has. How are you going to check all the boxes of his concerns anytime soon?
Gordon Damer put up a poll earlier. Given the current situation, would you feel comfortable attending a sporting event if you could? 703 votes, so it's a small sample size. 62% said no chance. 38% said absolutely. So those people aren't worried about it. Also, you should listen to The Daily. Today's episode of The Daily is about the response to COVID by the United Kingdom. Truly amazing. It's really interesting to hear just how badly they had to reverse course and how bad they botched it. It's amazing to hear Boris Johnson start out saying in his first press conference talking about how he went to go meet people with COVID and shook all of their hands and then he gets it and ends up in ICU.
He was in bad shape too.
Yeah, it's wild. Hey, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are 1-2 in NFL MVP odds. Mahomes is the 4-1 favorite. Jackson is at 13-2. A couple other names. Guys, any predictions on the odds for Tom Brady as MVP?
20-1.
15-1.
Wow. Michael, very good. 16-1. Now tell me this. 16-1 at MVP for Tom Brady. You know what quarterback is in the same category also at 16-1?
Breeze.
How about Kyler Murray?
Oh, really?
How about that? I'll put it this way.
Breeze?
We've talked to so many. Let's just remember how good Vegas generally is, okay? Every football expert seems to believe the Bucs are going to be great. They're going to compete. They're going to be 10-6. We've heard it nonstop. But let's remember how often Vegas is right. Vegas sees Tom Brady as a 16-1 likelihood. 16-1 is the likelihood that Tom Brady is the MVP of the league. They feel that same way about Kyler Murray. Ahead of him, Russell Wilson, 12-1. Dak Prescott, 9-1. I just think that's really interesting when everyone has talked about how great they know Brady is going to be. Vegas seems to think that he'll be at about the same level as Kyler Murray.
See, what's interesting about that is, forget about how good Tampa is. You can win the MVP on a team that doesn't make the playoffs. I mean, it's hard.
Right?
It's hard. But if you're Tom Brady, and Tom Brady goes out there and throws like 35 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions, but the defense stinks and they finish 8-8,
well,
you don't think there'll be people that will vote for him?
And with this, and with the weapons he has, that he wouldn't be more in the conversation? Very interesting to me.
But what is it about Murray that they believe that he would be on equal footing with Brady?
I think
what weapons do they have? What is he going to do in his second season that leads you to believe that he?
Well, Kyler Murray has one new monster weapon in DeAndre Hopkins, and to me, it says less about Brady. And more about, I mean, less about Murray and more about Brady. My guess is the rest of the pack isn't far after that, Don.
I've got some odds for you I'd like you to guess, Peter.
Okay.
And Don. Hmm. So Awful Announcing put this out earlier, giving the odds that Bovada has unveiled regarding next season's Monday Night Football booth.
Ooh, here we go. What are the odds for Wischusen?
Wischusen is, where is it?
Is he there?
Yeah, he's on.
Okay, I was just joking, so give it to us.
Well, the favorite right now is Levy at 3-1 for the play-by-play. In January, he was 18-1. So the rest are given as plus like 225. Wischusen is plus 1,200.
It's a dog, big dog.
Mike Breen is plus 1,200.
Also a big dog.
Iron Eagle is plus 1,600.
Wow, okay.
Dave Pasch is plus 1,200. Dan Shulman is plus 1,200.
What a voice.
Kevin Burkhardt is plus 1,600. So those are the play-by-play guys. For the analyst, Lewis Riddick, Dan Orlovsky, plus 225.
Not, wow, then they're in the running.
Right. Oh, by the way, Jason Benetti, who's excellent, is also plus 1,200. Philip Rivers is plus 2,000. Pat McAfee is plus 300.
Wow.
Kurt Warner, plus 550. Adam Amin, who ESPN just lost to Fox, is plus 1,200.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
None.
Chris Fowler or Kirk Herbstreit, plus 2,000. Peyton Manning, plus 650. Matt Hasselbeck, plus 950. John Madden is plus 7,000.
Now, obviously, that isn't rated necessarily on talent, but Iron Eagle would be higher if he worked for our company.
Yeah, but you can get somebody. You can.
Yeah, but that.
I mean, didn't NBC get Al Michaels from us?
True, but they'd have to offer a lot for Eagle to leave CBS. I mean,
if they offered him
Sunday,
the chance to be the number one.
Ready? I'm calling the booth right now. Based on those numbers and just my thoughts and reading the tea leaves, you want to know who the booth's going to be?
Please. Yeah.
It's going to be Levy, Riddick, and McAfee.
No.
I think it's going to be a three-man booth of Levy, Riddick, and Orlovsky.
Thank you. Michael banged it on. You know why?
Why?
And listen, maybe it's just coincidence. But, you know, with the kids, I watched that that Disney sing-along.
Oh, tremendous.
All right? It's really tremendous. It's the second one they did.
Yep.
Volume 2, they called it. And there was a sing-along late. What's that?
I said it's smart when it's the second one to call it that.
Right. And the way things are going, there'll probably be many more volumes. But it's really, they do a good job. So they had a sing-along with different people from ABC. The only one that I noticed that was from ESPN was Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, Don being a sleuth.
I think he's fantastic. I think he's got the look.
Friend of the show.
Jace.
And I think, and Riddick, same thing, you know, because he can kind of give you that, like, management behind the scenes things. They love quarterbacks.
Riddick to me is a no-brainer.
And Levy, he's already with the company. He's already, already given the XFL, you know, so he was the lead with that, and he's been doing a ton of college, ton of college football, and he's been with the company forever, so he's due that kind of a nod.
Yeah, about 30 years.
But I will say that I think this vindicates me, Peter, right? Because I was looked upon like with shoes in. What do you know? I mean, Bovada's got odds on him.
Yeah, he was in the
Bovada
conversation.
Also has odds on John Madden. So, I mean,
but
let's
yeah,
relax.
But you know what? John Madden was minus 7,000.
Plus 7,000, yeah.
Plus 7,000, where with shoes in and Breen had the same odds.
Great point. Now, the reason I leaned McAfee over Orlovsky was the idea of them trying something wacky. They love him. He's funny. He gets a lot of ink. You know, I just thought that you put him in with Steve, who's pretty straight, Lewis, who's very straight. McAfee could sort of be the wild card. I think Orlovsky's tremendous. And listen, I'm good with it either way. I think Orlovsky gives you a little bit more of a serious, you know, Booth, you're going former backup quarterback as opposed to in McAfee, former Pro Bowl punter. But I think it's obviously feeling Levy, and we all seem to agree on Riddick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he wants it too. Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this. What would you do? What would you do?
Okay.
You're Mike Breen. You get offered number one spot on Monday Night Football. You have to give up the NBA. There's no Super Bowl in your future unless the rules change completely. You
it
just
could.
Do a Monday Night Football. I'll give you my answer. I'm not leaving the NBA if I'm Breen.
Well, here's the thing. On average, you figure over the length of the average rating, even including the NBA Finals, I mean, Monday Night Football will do well.
True.
A lot of eyeballs on Monday Night Football. But to lose that series and his love for basketball. I mean, you know him better than I do, Michael, but I always got a sense that he loves football, but basketball is his passion. I would think just with the volume of games that he does, as opposed to working once a week, I would think he would stick with basketball.
Well, I would insist if I were him, I'd have to do both.
It's the same argument I was making about Bob Wischusen yesterday, except instead of being the local radio Jets guy, Breen's safe lifetime job is the voice of the NBA.
Right. He's in the Hall of Fame.
So why would you pass up being the voice of the NBA, which he can do until he feels like stopping, for an opportunity to do Monday nights, but like I said, based on history, it could just be a couple years and you're out. He's the voice of the NBA. Keep going.
A little known fact that when NBC got Sunday Night Football, Mike Breen was being considered before they made the trade for Al Michaels.
You don't listen. If we bring up this topic, you know what we're going to do.
What's that?
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of talking about Mike Patrick for 20 minutes again.
And I enjoy doing that.
The man was tremendous on Sunday Night Football. Simply tremendous.
The one caveat is that I do believe that eventually ABC will get back football because they're going to want to get the Super Bowl, and they won't get it if it's on ESPN. The question is, will the group that they hire for this year survive that?
Because
I don't think it's going to happen
tomorrow.
Because what
happens if all of a sudden Peyton Manning goes, you know what, I'll take it? It's like they're waiting for Peyton Manning to change his mind. So
now remember, this was
that puts everybody at risk.
And here's the question. We just somewhat agreed that it would be Levy, Riddick, and then
Orlovsky.
Michael and I believed it was Orlovsky, right? Do you think the NFL would be cool with that team if ABC got involved? I don't think they would. Because remember,
good question.
This was a sport that wouldn't let Tirico go to NBC because they wanted Al Michaels. Would they put their foot down and say, all right, ABC, you're back in the mix. You're going to get a Super Bowl, but you're going to have to come up with a bigger name. And that's no fact. I love Levy, but Mike Tirico was great too, and they demanded it was Al Michaels.
No. Mike Tirico is there to take over for Michaels when Michaels is gone, but they didn't want Tirico filling in like doing Thursday Night Football. It had to be Al Michaels. It can't be Tirico be the lead guy.
No, but Tirico was going to be the Thursday Night guy.
Right, and they didn't want that because they did with Fox because they didn't want Kevin Burkhardt to be the Thursday Night guy. They wanted Joe Buck to do both. They insist on the lead guy doing the Thursday Night game.
But the
I don't
the
think
NFL's
it was a knock. I think they love Tirico. Tirico's going to eventually take over that
spot. I
agree.
I think Tirico is terrific. And Tirico also, he was doing some hockey for NBC and did a terrific job.
And he does ND.
Someone sent me, by the way, some odds here from a different website. This one's from, I can't tell which betting site this is, but it has Brady at plus 1,600 and Murray at plus 3,000.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
But by the way, still ahead of him, Dak Prescott at plus 1,200, Russell Wilson plus 700. But it puts Brady in a category in the middle where he's ahead of Breeze, Watson, Murray, Wentz, Mayfield, etc. So, but again, that was the numbers I had earlier from a different site. Conor McGregor has demanded a fight with the new UFC interim champ, Justin Gaethje. Of course, Gaethje just destroyed Ferguson at UFC 249 over the weekend, and instantly Conor jumped out there and said that's the fight he wants. Dana White was on ESPN 1000 in Chicago earlier and said that he does expect a lightweight unification bout between Khabib and Justin Gaethje to happen. And he expects it to happen on Fight Island this summer, Fight Island being that island that we don't know the location of yet that will supposedly house these UFC fights moving forward. By the way, let's hear from Ariel Helwani. He was on his MMA podcast, and apparently I haven't heard this yet, but Ariel agreed with my sentiment that he didn't miss the crowd at UFC 249 either.
I actually liked it better without fans.
Dude, I told Joe Rogan that at the end. I was like, Joe, I didn't hate it.
I know, I don't want the fans to think I'm insulting them, but there's moments in fights with big crowds that get me upset, like when the fans start booing, when there's like a minute of non-action, right? Or when there's a close call and then the guy's on the microphone afterwards and he's being booed and he has to apologize. We didn't have any of that. None of that was a factor. And once you're watching the fights from home, you don't really notice because they do a great job of blacking out everything else. It's all focused on the cage. I did not miss them. In fact, I had to remind myself that there were no fans there. I did not miss them one bit.
I'm with you, Ariel, 100%.
How about Ariel going on with the 1-3 show with Bart and Han?
Yeah, he's on a little bit of a
he's on a timeout?
Probation. Yeah,
I mean, not exactly what somebody that wants to be a 5 o'clock guest should do.
Yeah,
right,
he gets
Michael?
Dropped to a 255 spot now.
Wow.
Well, we should try to do that one time, Michael. Really stir it up.
You know,
open guest.
I love that.
You have his number, Peter.
Of course.
Tell him to tell a story walking.
I knew I'd get Michael going with that.
So you want me
I
to
didn't
tell
know
him,
if you knew.
You want me to tell him that you're sick?
Just tell him to take his act and tell a story walking.
I'm on the air right now, Ariel. Michael K. is telling me. What's the quote, Michael?
Tell your story walking.
Tell your story walking. That's how he feels about you going on our 1-3 show earlier today.
And I love Bart and Han.
And he loves Bart and Han. But
if you want to be a 5 o'clock guest
If you believe you're a 5 o'clock guest on this show, you're loyal to this show. And until then, you're on probation. That's what's being said by
Sounds like he's right. looking to like date anybody he could date. Sorry, that's not the way it works.
And also let him know to not parlay this little rift into a guest spot.
Don has added, don't think you're going to parlay this little rift into a guest spot.
Yeah, he's suspended from this show for at least
two weeks. You're suspended for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Helwani's been suspended for 2 weeks? This is a big week of UFC.
Mike Tyson could come back tomorrow and say, look, I'm fighting Tyson Fury for $100 zillion. He will not be the guest.
That's right. We got Peter. We don't need him.
He's a very scared man.
So this is interesting, guys. The Mamba Sports Academy is retiring Mamba from its name. They say they're doing it out of respect for Kobe and Gianna. Of course, Kobe's nickname was the Black Mamba. So they came out and said that we were fortunate to learn from Kobe, and we will carry on much of those learnings in a respectful way. But they're going to change the name just back to the Sports Academy. Our beliefs and thoughts are Kobe is one of one. And with that, we carry on as the Sports Academy. It's more appropriate to put Kobe in another Hall of Fame, if you will, and to really respect a legacy that is really unrivaled, frankly. I got to tell you, I know this is done out of respect. I'm not knocking them in the least bit. I don't get it, though.
I agree with you.
I think that's really strange to change it to the Sports Academy. Now, if they'd said, we don't think the Mamba Sports Academy makes sense, we're going to call it the Kobe Bryant Sports Academy, I would understand that. But taking it all together, to me, I found to be a weird look, guys.
Right, right. The greatest homage you could pay him is to keep the name, not to take it off.
I mean, he was on his way there when he died. Now, speaking of which, the helicopter pilot in the crash that killed Kobe, his daughter, and 7 others, of course, it's being argued that he should not be responsible, according to a representative for his family. In the response, the lawyer argued that, quote, any injuries or damages to plaintiffs and or their or anyone else were directly caused in full or in part by the negligence or fault of the plaintiffs, including their knowing and voluntary encounter with the risks involved. Supposedly, this is a standard legal move in a wrongful death case like this. Vanessa Bryant is seeking an unspecified amount in damages. So it's not shocking that they're making that claim that everyone knew the risks involved, but that is what's out there. And let's end things on a lighter note.
Please.
First of all, CeCe Sabathia is absolutely jacked. I don't know if anyone's seen the photo yet.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Do you guys like that in the New York Post, the confirmation of CeCe's jackness was Ryan Rucco?
Yeah.
They needed a tweet from Rucco that confirmed CeCe's jackness. But, yeah, he's really been getting after it during quarantine. Looks fantastic. And also, Sammy Watkins did an interview with Bleacher Report in which he talks about his disappointments in Buffalo. and says that basically he partied and got wasted every single night. Quote, I would go out and get wasted. Then he'd go to practice early in the morning. And he believes now that treating his body that way is what led to his injury problems that he had in Buffalo. He couldn't stay healthy. He was depressed. He shut people out. He was a disaster. Essentially, he's pulled it together since getting to Kansas City, and now he is a Super Bowl champion. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.